want me to start with that? So you.
We are live and broadcasting officially, so anything you say or do will be part of the public record.
I'm going to check the screen, but I think it's okay.
Yeah, hi, this is Gretchen Havner. We're calling to order the meeting of the Newport Public Library Advisory Committee. We do have a quorum of members here tonight already, so we're going to go ahead and start because we're limited in time to clock tonight. So hopefully we'll have some members join us as we're going along. So we're going to start with number two, approval of minutes. Has anyone had?
Hi, this is Gretchen Havner. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Hi. Yes. So we're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order at 5, even though that is early, because we have to leave the council chambers at 6. So we do have a quorum to start, so we're going to go ahead and start. Hopefully the rest of our members will show up. We're going to start out with approval of the minutes. Has anyone had a chance to read the minutes?
Yes. Yep.
So is there a motion?
I move to approve the minutes.
And do we have a second?
I second that.
Who is the secretary? Isn't it Ellen, who's not here? Okay. So Ellen isn't here. Is someone willing to take the minutes until she gets here?
Sure, I could do that.
All right. Thanks, Yvonne. So Stormy made a motion to approve the minutes, and I believe that Melly seconded that. And so all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the minutes are approved. Because we have a big agenda and a limited amount of time, we're going to skip all the way ahead to the discussion items. To make sure that we get through the votes that we need to do, and then we'll come back and let Laura do the education pieces. So Laura, we're gonna start with 4A. Oh, the other thing to let you know is that we have been informed that it's possible that we'll have a public commenter come tonight. Laura is going to check periodically. If they come, we're gonna just interrupt where we are and allow them to make their comment. I believe they're here to talk about the hours of the library.
Yes, they think that we're taking hours away with the schedule change. And she wanted consistent hours. I gave her the Zoom information and told her that she get 3 minutes to speak if she does come to the meeting. I just don't know if it's, I didn't hear anything back. So I'm gonna keep watching the participant list, and if they are here, I will let you guys know. But they'll wait in the waiting room until we're ready for that.
Right.
But I don't see anybody yet.
So we'll go ahead and take a break, and Laura was kind enough to email me the current hours and the hour change, so I can talk to her about that. The library is actually gaining 4 hours and reopening an additional day by being opening on Saturday from 1 to 5. The only way that there's a shift is that on Wednesday and Thursday, they shift to 11 to 6 instead of 10 to 5, which I think catches a lot of people that right now are not being served at all because it's open after hours. It's exactly what we as a group have been asking Laura to do. So
I just needed a little bit of time. So that'll go into effect on the week of November 29th. So you guys know all of our security company TCB is aware. So we'll have security hours, coverage, all the hours that we're open, as well as cleaning service from Associated Cleaners, because they come in midday to clean our restrooms. And that's per COVID right now. So they'll be coming in on Saturdays too. And then the book drop will open for Saturdays. The drive-up book drop will open on Saturdays too. So that's the other thing to note. We're going to keep it closed on Sundays right now until we kind of get into a rhythm and know what we're dealing with on Sundays. And then we may end up opening it in a little bit. But we want to kind of see what the flow looks like. when we open within the hours. And this is kind of going to be where we're at until we get those positions, open positions filled. We get the people trained. And then the hope is that once we get everybody on board and trained, that we'll be able to be consistent with the time that we start at 10 o'clock that Tuesday through Friday. And then maybe add a couple hours on Saturdays and then a little bit later till 7 o'clock in the evening. But this move is bringing us up to 32 hours. And what we'd like to be able to work up to, if we can get the staffing in place, is to be open to 40 hours a week. There's no way that we can be open to at the levels we were before COVID at 62 hours, especially with the budget restrictions and everything too.
Okay. So back to 4A. Sorry, we're jumping around a lot tonight, but we're back to 4A, Public Library Statistical Report. Laura?
So what I attached in the report for you guys was the 2021 Oregon Public Library Statistical Report that was submitted to the State Library before the deadline on October 31st. There were some new questions this year that were included in this report. I introduced this to you guys last year when we went through this, and I'm going to introduce this every year so you guys can become familiar with it. There's different sections. They included stuff in here this year. If you guys wanted to go to collections, they go into more information about like the library collections this year than they have in the past. And they wanted us to break down information from into like children, teens, adults, even more. And some of that information we don't currently track. We don't have a tracking mechanism in place. That was part five in collections. I just wanted to go over this really quick so you guys know. There's a lot of pages in this report. When it has circulation, it was part six, circulation and collection use. Some of this information too about like first time circulation of children's materials, first time circulation of young adult materials, renewals of other library materials. These are some of the newer questions that have been introduced the last couple of years, and they've changed the wording on some of these questions too. Like question 618, first time circulation of materials not separated into above categories. We don't track that, so I was told to put -1 on that, just so the state library knows. And then they had another one, it was like 619, renewals of materials not separated into above categories. We also don't track that either. We don't have a tracking mechanism in place. Our ILS system, which is what we use to check in, check out, do all the cataloging and everything, does not track that. So that's why it's -1 on that. And then they had, they talked about ILLs, which is interlibrary loans. And when everything happened with COVID, we were not loaning to other libraries because our staff member that was dedicated towards that position was cut. And then this is one of the things that kind of went to the back burner until we got somebody in place. But we are doing ILLs now. We're lending. So I wanted to make sure I told you guys about that. And then they had a section B. It's part 7B, expanded programs questions. This is newer questions, and we didn't know that we were supposed to track live programs for 7 days. So we were checking it for a week, and so we had to go back through and check that and give an estimate. And these are questions I'm going to be asking the state library for next year, because the report always changes what they're supposed to be tracking. So then if we need to be tracking something and we have a heads up that we should be tracking that, then we have some data and we can start collecting that. So I want to make sure I pointed that out to you guys too. Our meeting rooms were not open this year during this last fiscal year. So if you guys are looking through and you're wondering why some of these things are zeros, it's because we didn't offer that service with COVID. And then, 7B is going through all the live programs, program attendance. We had a lot of questions regarding this. You're going to see a lot of zeros because most of the programs that we did were like the kits. We did the library takeout kits. So those statistics will be in the program numbers. So I just want to tell you guys that. And then where else do we have in here? There are so many pages in this thing. Can you print it off?
I was surprised it took only 25 hours to put it together. It looks like something that would have required a lot more.
A lot of questions for the state library, too. Well, we keep really good statistics when we're going through, but some of these things, like, we don't track or we don't know how to track, and so there's been a lot of questions with that from the state library, or how do you answer this question? And the way that they would have collected that information has changed, and that's pretty typical. Especially, like, we had questions this year about technology and facilities, and they were asking about the number of public internet computers and devices. Like, we had just given in the past the number of public computers that we had, and this year we had to go through, like, each of our workstations and count that in there, as well as if we have laptops that we use or we lend anything, we had to include that number in here. And this is part eight, technology and facilities. They've been asking a lot of questions about Wi-Fi and wireless internet sessions this year too. And part of that is just because there's a lot of funding that's going through right now in library world. And I think they want to gauge kind of where those needs might be with public libraries. They had one about last year, it was just like internet upload and download speed. And this year they broke it into two separate questions with question 805 and 806. About internet download speed, internet upload speed. We had to put information about weekday open hours, weeknight open hours, weekend daytime open hours. And our numbers weren't great, but that's because of COVID and what was going on. So we're trying to give up. We're not doing that bad, you guys, on the statistics, especially if you compare us, because this is where a lot of libraries are right now. But it was definitely hard when I had to put zeros in for some of these things. Like the question 812, scheduled weekend, daytime hours. We're looking forward to that answer not being zero next year, which will be good. We had to put library visits. Like, they were asking how you were tracking these numbers. They were asking questions about original construction of your building. That's not a question that we've had before. About the most recent structural remodel of the building, because there's a lot of infrastructure money that could possibly be a play for libraries. They haven't included those questions before. Part nine was about fine fees and salary surveys. These questions are typical. These are the ones that we normally get every year. And then they're asking, like, part 10 was going into policies. They're double-checking libraries to make sure that they're going through their policies and they're updating them, because that was a big problem in public libraries, that you had policies that were very dated. So we're having to include links for those kinds of things in here, too. They'd asked questions, more COVID questions, regarding the library and what we had done. That has shown up last year, but I think there's even more questions this year versus last year. And then we had to report our time burden on that. So if you guys have questions about this, like, ask me. But I just kind of wanted to touch base on the stuff that's changed from previous years.
Thank you.
Are there any questions out there? No. Okay.
No.
I'm really glad this report is done.
I bet.
It's amazing. I mean, all this detail.
Our hope with this is to take the statistical information, Millie, and be able to use it for the infographics that we were putting out and handing out during takeout, and people were coming in. So then it's just showing, illustrating a bigger picture to people too, that may not understand all the things that the library does and who aren't familiar with all the different services and resources.
Well, I'm impressed with 817. I think with our time and things that are happening, I'm very impressed with those numbers.
Thank you.
Okay, Laura, why don't you check to see if we have anyone we need to admit? Nope. She's saying no. So we'll go on to policies governing the facility, which is 4B.
This is the policy I brought to you guys last time during our meeting, but because we are changing the library hours, I wanted to bring it back to you so then we could get that updated.
Yeah. I think it's fantastic that you've been able to add the Saturday hours in and to have that evening hour a couple days a week. I mean, I do think those are super, super positive changes for the community.
Thanks, Stormy.
So Laura, I am not sure what we're looking at here, so.
It's the only thing that's different on the policy revisions for policies governing the facility is under 5.1 open hours. Because mm-hmm. You guys had given us suggestions, and with those suggestions, the only thing you're gonna see track changes on is the first part with the open hours. So instead of it being closed Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Gretchen, mm-hmm. it has the new hours included in there.
Okay, I don't have that piece of paper in front of me. Do I need to see it, or is the only change the hours? Okay. Do we have any discussion about the changes that need to be made? Nope. Do we have a motion?
I move to approve.
And we need a second?
Second that.
Melly's going to second. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Nope. Okay, so that's approved, Laura.
Thank you.
That brings us on to Library Staff Development Day.
Two years ago, we did Staff Development Day with the Tillamook County Public Libraries, as well as all of the Lincoln County Libraries, including the Community College Library staff, as well as the Gwen library staff, as well as our school librarian for the school district, Sudi. And this year, we're planning another one, but we're going to do it on a Friday on February 18th, 2022. And we're going to do it in the morning as a virtual session because we just don't know how things are going to look with COVID. And then all of our municipalities are at different levels as far as where they are with meetings. So we're trying to do everything on Zoom in the morning on February 18th with the Lincoln County Libraries, Ocean Book Libraries, Oregon Coast Community College Library staff, the Lincoln County Library District, and Gwen Library staff. And so the first half of the day would be virtual on Zoom with other participating libraries, and it would be conference style. So you'd have breakout sessions and different speakers. You guys, of course, would be invited to attend this if you're interested. And I'll share more information once I have it, because we're at the very beginning planning stages right now. And then the afternoon portion of the day is going to be reserved for team building activities. So last spring, the library had received a 2040 Vision Award, and we received a $250 check. And that $250 check was going to be used for team building activities with the library staff. And so we want to use the afternoon for team building activities. Especially because of all the changes and everything, I think it would be good for us to be able to be together. So the city manager has already approved this, but I want to bring it to you guys officially to put this request in to confirm the actual date that the Library Staff Development Day would be observed in 2022.
So I move to approve Staff Development Day on February 22nd. Is there a second?
I second.
Karen is the second, Yvonne. All those in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? No. Okay. That is approved. Laura,
I just have one quick question. I'm sorry to interrupt, Gretchen. Okay. What and where is the Gwynn Library?
It's the library that's over at the Hatfield campus. The campus that's over here. Yeah, it's in there.
All right, cool. Thank you.
Yeah. It's beautiful if you've never been in there.
I haven't.
It's the
one. I need to make a trip.
And it's open to the public too, Stormy.
It has big whale skeleton right outside of it. It's very cool.
Nice. I need to make a little jaunt over there, obviously.
Our old, one of our old employees, Katie, that used to work at the library in Newport, she works over there. And then one of my former employees from when I was in Jackson County works there with Mary. And Mary Marklin's the library director that's there. They're all great. The whole team are wonderful.
I didn't know Katie went there. Sad. Oh, well, I'm happy for her for that. Okay, so that brings us to the anti-racism statement.
So I gave you guys the two copies of this, one with the track changes so you could see where all the changes are, and then a copy where it was clean with no track changes. And then all the lines that you're seeing in the second version of it, those are the hyperlinks, because you guys had asked if I would add the hyperlinks in there for everything. And I try to make all of the suggestions from the last meeting that I wrote down.
A lot cleaner.
I have a question about the statement, and it may be that I'm not remembering right. I thought we decided to group all of the organizations together, not to separate them into like two separate sentences. Do you understand my comment?
Yes, that
putting all the ones that are like at the back of the state at the end of the statement, like in line three, putting that in the very beginning of it.
Yeah,
I thought we were going to string all the organizations together and not separate them at all. But I may be remembering wrong.
I agree with Karen, because I believe that the way this is written here, it says we stand with, and then it lists like the OLA, Asian
ALA.
American. Yeah, and then the sentence just doesn't go anywhere.
So instead of it saying the way it is, you guys... I was trying to do the best with all my notes from last time.
Sure.
The new public library stands with the American Library Association, the Black Caucus American Library Association, the Oregon Library Association, Asian Pacific American Librarians Association, Chinese American Librarians Association. And the one with the American Library Association that could. For some reason, I had people of color. Was that supposed to be in there?
I don't think
so.
No,
I don't have my...
Yeah. I don't think so.
Okay, so I'll take that out. All those associations, it'll say it stands, so it'll all be there, and then it'll go in condemning violence, racism, hate crimes, and racist language towards people of color.
Yes.
Okay. That was my mistake. I was trying to look at my chicken notes.
That makes sense, definitely.
Okay, so I got that noted. Is there any other changes that you guys see?
No.
No.
Thank you, Karen, for bringing that up.
That's okay. I thought, well, I don't remember this right.
So, I'm trying to read my notes when I was doing that, and I was like,
oh. And I understand. You need a final motion on that?
Yes.
I move that we accept the statement as you stated, as written.
Any further discussion?
Kenna, I know we did say that we wanted it strung together, and I'm wondering if the in condemning violence, racism, hate crimes, and racist language towards people of color, the Newport Library stands with, and then you list them.
Oh.
Because then that would be a good closure. You would eliminate the people of color at the end of that first six lines, and then you would have We Stand already in there, and I think it would be one phrase as a pledge, kind of.
Melly, could you read aloud what you're suggesting?
Yes. Okay. So it would be, in condemning violence, racism, hate crimes, and racist language towards people of color, the Newport Library stands with the American Library Association, the Black Caucus American Library Association, Asian Pacific American Librarians Association, Chinese American Libraries Association, and Reforma, the American Library Association.
I agree with that because I think it's putting forward what we stand for prior to a long list of other groups. I like that. I think it's putting emphasis where we want it to be.
And I would put a comma, you guys, after it says racist language towards people of color, comma, the Newport Public Library stands with, and then put all of those in there.
Yes.
Does that sound right? Okay, so do we need to do a new motion then, since it's already on the table?
Sure.
Karen, do you want to redo your motion?
I amend my motion to what Melly said.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
So we have a motion and second to pass the anti-racism statement as just amended by Melly. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, the anti-racism statement passes. Great change there, Melly. I like that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. It looks like we're at interlibrary loan policy.
So you guys got two copies of this one, too. You got one with the track changes, so you could see where all the changes are, and then the finalized copy with all the track changes that are accepted. So you guys can see the first paragraph, we added the before desired. What else did we do? We put the and under lending materials before Newport, and then we added public. And then under rules and regulations, we had crossed out patrons may have up to 3 active requests per month. Active requests, so we cross out that whole area in there. Because we're not trying to put those kind of limits there. And we did that before, and we don't need to go there. And then the other thing underneath charges, we put public in there, and then the. And then changed out... In the third paragraph under charges, we said we charge $1 for each item borrowed from outside the Orbis Cascade Resource Sharing Consortium. We crossed out Lincoln County. This charge is applied to your account even if you do not pick up the item. So those were all the changes with that. Any questions you guys have about this?
So I just want to clarify, you're taking out the limits, meaning that I could come in and ask for 17 interlibrary loans if I wanted. Right now
we're not getting that many, but what kind of was happening before is we weren't using the suggestion to purchase as much with when people would send an ILL request, and we could get some of those items. We were also filling ILL requests for new items, and that's not typical with libraries doing that. And then some of those resources we were lending out through ILL that we had in one of our other libraries, so we don't think we're going to have to do the limits like that.
Okay, cool.
With it, but we wanted to take that out just because we're trying to break down barriers. This goes along with our strategic plan, right, you guys? So this is one of those things that we took out because we didn't want to limit ourselves so much as like a reactionary, because we've already put limits around it internally, like with internal procedures as far as that goes.
Okay.
And ILLs used to be $3 at one point, and we lowered that to $1 a couple years ago, especially because of a lot of our outreach patrons couldn't afford the $3. And they were also getting the services for free too at one point. And when you're trying to look at everything as far as equitable, a dollar seemed like it was something that was more equitable for everybody. And it was also limiting how many requests we were getting at one time too. Because a lot of our requests before were from our outreach community.
Stormy, did you want to share something?
Yeah, I just have a question about the charges. Is there any pushback on that at all? When you tell people that they are going to have to pay, does anyone argue about that? Or
I was going to kind of speak to that, if that's okay. Unless Laura, did you want to answer
her
question?
Ahead, Melly. Then I can speak.
Yeah. So because for myself, when we had that big crash, you know, of finance, and we couldn't get a job, or you know, things happened.
Right.
I ended up being supported through our human resource department here and was helped with tuition for school. But my tuition was limited, so I had to enter this interlibrary loan with because I had been an alumni of Portland State. I could use the Oregon State library, or the Le Guin library, to inter-district loan materials that I needed for my courses. And that allowed me to manage that money I was given through the American Recovery Act to pay for my tuition at OSU. So it's a, if you, that whole kind of like, I guess, an algorithm of how to do it with our university, well, with our community college getting bigger and bigger, it's just an opportunity to help, you know, community members utilize their money resources in a way that they can keep doing that, keep building on their education to reach their goals. So that's just a personal experience of myself. And I got to know the ladies very well because I was there quite often. So
I bet. That's awesome. I'm not sure if that, I think that's super cool. I love hearing that story. I'm not sure that totally answers my question.
I know. I tried not to complain. I don't think I was a complainer.
That's cool to know that you were able to do that. I'm just curious, for the average, you know, man and woman off the street, does anyone care, like, when they are told that, oh, that's going to be $3, Mrs. Whatever? Like, does anyone ever push back, or they pay up with no comments, really?
There was more pushback when it was $3, and people were really happy when we were able to lower it to $1 when we were doing that. And then most of the stuff, the requests we get, we can actually get within our Orbis Cascade like alliance. We can get it most of the time. And then the ones that we can't, like, we'll look at if it goes to a selector to see if we can actually purchase those items before we try to charge somebody. Okay. If there's a way to do it.
Okay.
It's been a happy, happy thing with the change from $3 to $1.
Okay, good. All right. I was just curious whether people were irritable about that or not.
No, I use interlibrary loan a lot, but I use it for stuff that is nowhere, even in Oregon, frequently.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And, I mean, a lot of it I get through Walport, since that's where I live, and they charge 50 cents. And I might get something from New York.
Oh,
and
wow.
They charge me 50 cents.
So a I bargain.
Yeah, I think it's a huge deal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Well, it helps with postage, you guys, with the postage, with everything.
Absolutely.
That's basically all the cost goes to. And we actually, like, you want to keep it low enough so it's not a barrier for access with people, but it's helping pay for the postage costs when we can actually get something locally. But we really try to get, and we have we have great resources to be able to borrow those items from other libraries, too, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool.
So, Karen, what type of stuff would you get from New York?
Well, I'm going to give an example. I asked for the biography of Marie, the last queen of Romania.
Okay.
And there's no way you're going to get that locally. And wasn't necessarily from New York, but I believe it was back east somewhere. Mm-hmm. Somebody had a copy squirreled away that they were willing to lend out to me.
Well, that's cool. Thank you for being willing to answer my probably invasive question. Sorry.
All right. Yeah. It was an old book, and I was happy to have it.
Okay, so do we have a motion on the interlibrary loan policy revisions?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I make a motion to what we want. I'm so new at this part. Except.
So Melly moves to approve the motion. I see Karen shaking her head, so she is seconding. All those in favor of approving the interlibrary loan policy revisions as presented, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, that passes. So that brings us to the 3D printer policy.
Okay, so before I start with this, I missed a couple when I went through on this. So number 3, the word library should be capitalized. Number 5, library should be capitalized in there in the third sentence. And then number 6, library and... that sentence should also be capitalized because we were trying to use it as a reference point. And then number 10, the word library should also be capitalized. I missed a couple when I went through. My eyes were getting really tired after being at the library for 5 hours working on this. 11, the print, prusa, and then thing, averse, those should be hyperlinked. So I put a line underneath those. So I just want to make sure I make note of that before you guys approve anything with changes, that those are changes that I'm noting. So this is the policy that we have come up with, looking at other policy examples from other libraries across the country as far as what they've been able to put together for a 3D printer. Our 3D printer is up and running in the teen room, and it's printing different projects on Fridays. We are not taking the public requests yet because I needed to get this approved before we started doing that. And so Vanessa and our teen volunteers have been picking out different projects to print each week. If you guys are in Newport and you have a chance to come into the library, I encourage you to check out our beautiful creations. Huh, Maddie? Vanessa's going to put up a little shelf above the doors in the teen room, not the doors you walk in, but the doors where the kids write on, to show off all of different projects that the teens have created.
Nice.
So just to summarize this to make sure I understand, once we pass this, I, as a member of the public, could come in and ask that you create a bolt that's missing from my lawnmower, and you guys would print it up and give it to me for free as long as it fit within this build volume and took less than 5 hours to make.
Yes, and then what we're gonna do is we're gonna have an online questionnaire for people that'll be live with this that people will be asked to fill out so we can get all the information, because one of the things that we had talked about was like, what happens if you have somebody who's trying to print a gun? You're not supposed to do that. What happens if they're trying to do it in multiple projects? So if it's a multiple print thing, we wanna know what the whole project is before we even approve it or not. So if it's something that they're trying to print, like a gun, and it's like a four-step kind of thing, we know what the overall picture is gonna be and how they think it's gonna roll out, okay? Sex toys was another one. Concern vibrators right. was something that was brought up too. I hate to tell you guys that was something that was brought up when we were talking about this. So we'll have a question. No, I'm sorry. So there's a question here.
I don't see that as prohibited here.
No, but it was just something that we're putting. That's why we're going to ask. And drug paraphernalia. That was something else we were worried about. Is what happens if somebody is trying to print a bong, like a multiple piece bong. Or other things.
Man.
But again, reading this, I don't believe you can say no to vibrators. I do not believe it's unsafe, harmful, dangerous.
But that's why we're doing an imminent threat. But that's why we have it says, like, we're just trying to protect ourselves. We're not telling them they can. But we just need to know what the overall project is that they're thinking about, especially if it's a multiple scope thing. You should have seen the questions we were asking the Intellectual Freedom Committee about some of these things.
Okay, well, I think this is a great first run at it myself. I am sure that there's 1,000 problems that we haven't thought of yet, and I think we'll just have to jump in the pool and figure it out as we go.
Right.
But I think this is pretty comprehensive. Does anyone have any suggestions for Laura of things that are jumping out to them they think we should add?
Go ahead,
Stormy.
It's so comprehensive. I'm just curious about things. I can see when this opens up to the public that there will, maybe there won't, but I can see that there would likely be huge amounts of interest in having this done for free. So how will there be a waiting list? What happens if, like, the number of projects just becomes so unwieldy? Like, do the teens get precedence over? How is that whole sort of desire for this service going to be managed?
So this 3D printer was purchased with grant funds from the State Library of Oregon to serve our teens. So they're definitely going to get priority with this. As far as that goes, and it's going to come as first come, first serve as far as the requests. Okay. And then if it's anything that's going to take a super long time, they're going to have a time period that they're going to have to print it by. That's why we put size dimensions in it in place too, that they, if it's going to be bigger than that or something more than what we can handle, we're going to deny the request. Yeah. And then we'll probably suggest an alternative location that they can go to. I may end up bringing this back to you guys in a couple of months if we see things that aren't working well with it too. So I just want you guys to know that. But we were just trying to give it a first go as far as that goes. Yeah. And part of it too is that we were, like, our online form, that'll be more of an internal thing. We'll get some of that information from the person who wants to print something.
I'm just wondering if we should just from the get-go add something that says one day a week will be reserved for teens, or
they're doing it Fridays. Fridays is the day that they're doing printing in the teen room.
But does it say that in here?
It does not, because that may change. So I didn't want to lock us down so much with that. That would be more of the internal operations.
Okay.
Gotcha.
I didn't want to have to do that to you guys.
I might think about, I don't know what everyone else thinks. I mean, maybe you want to put in here that it is first come, first serve or something to just sort of head it off at the pass. Or I guess maybe wait and see what the actual demand is.
I thought that was in here somewhere, but now I can't scan and find it.
I see that it says
number nine.
Print time.
Number nine, the library will regulate the use of the 3D printer, including limiting the number of print requests in a given time period. And then it has a total print time must be 5 hours or less to complete. That was number eight. And then the number seven with the maximum build volume, they put that in there too.
Right. Okay.
So you're right, Stormy. I don't see in here anywhere that says it's first come, first serve. Although by saying, like, right now, they kind of have the flexibility to pick the line as they see fit.
Yeah.
And if we put that in there, then
we may be locking ourselves down more.
I don't know.
It might be something that's said in the way that your request will be like sequenced upon delivery, you know, receipt, or, you know, just maybe, or again, maybe waiting. But the one that I was going to just mention is 14. That kind of seems like something you want people to know off the bat. I don't know what others might think, but it says, please note that there is no guarantee of anonymity. Submitted files will be observed by library staff and quite possibly by patrons utilizing the library when the file is being printed. That might be a deterrent, maybe, for people trying to do something.
Do we want to move that up to number two, and then I can just move down the numbers? That's a little higher on the list.
I will. Let's see what others think. But I think that's kind of like but kind of sounds like a deterrent to want to do something that you shouldn't be doing.
I think if it's number three, that's fine, because I think number two really needs to be right up front, that we reserve the right to refuse something. And again, that builds in that flexibility that answers to the questionnaire lead us to believe this is going to be something of a project that would violate anything in number one. We can hit that right away. But I agree that when I got to that part of the list, I went, ooh, I wonder how many people are going to get into this process and suddenly realize, no, never mind.
With that one moving up to number three, what do you guys think about bolding no?
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you already have it capitalized. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that might knock out the more adult fashioned items.
Right.
You guys, if we're noticing after we actually launch this, if there's things that we're seeing that aren't working with us, I'm going to bring you back the policy. So like if the first come, first serve, if that's something that we're running into, that we need to include in here, I'll bring that back to you and include that in here.
Okay.
Great.
So is there any further discussions or comments about the 3D printer policy as stated? Maddie, have you been part of printing stuff?
Towards the beginning, I haven't done as much now just because I'm not there very often, but I've been providing ideas and trying to find the right prints.
Okay, cool. Well, if you see anything or hear feedback from the teens, the printer's in the teen room, right?
It is.
Yeah.
Please let us know, because this, as we all acknowledge, is a first shot at this, and we'll see how it goes. I think it's pretty exciting.
Well, they printed a giant Pokemon last week, and they put muscles on it.
I only vaguely know what a Pokemon is.
It was Pikachu.
Okay, I know what Pikachu is.
It goes,
okay.
Pika, Pika.
Okay. Ryan Reynolds, right?
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Okay, so do we have a motion? Maddie, do you want to make a motion?
Sure, I'll make the motion.
So I think Maddie is moving to accept the policy as written with the caveat that number 14, the no be bolded and move to number 3 and all other numbers moving down. Is that correct, Maddie?
And the changes that I suggested before we even jumped into the policy that I need to fix with the library and then hyperlinking.
Yes.
All that stuff. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, Yvonne's going to second. All those in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Godspeed, new policy. Hope it goes well. Okay, Laura, you have 14 minutes.
Yeah, 14
to get
minutes.
Through section 3, so feel free to skip around.
Well, we got one more thing. I wanted to give you guys equity, and at least in the discussion stuff, the equity, diversity, and inclusion, and anti-racism toolkit update. We finished going through the toolkit, and so most of this report is just laying out what each of the different divisions do in the Oregon Library Association, like ACRL Oregon, which is a dual role for the Oregon chapter of the Association of College and Research Libraries, as well as the American Academic Library Division of the Oregon Library Association. So it has a little bit of information there, and this is just kind of an education piece for you guys so you have a better understanding what all these different associations do. It goes into information about the Children's Services Division, the Oregon Young Adult Network, the Oregon Association of School Libraries, Support Staff Division, which Chelsea, who works at the library, she is the secretary for the Support Staff Division. And then the Public Library Division, which I'm the past chair of now. What we've been able to do. And so it just goes into what each of these different associations are doing to support EDI efforts. So just laid that out for you guys. And then, like I had mentioned, that we'd finished going through the toolkit, and we've been talking about it, and then we're looking to see what resources we have in the library and which ones we don't have in the library, and seeing if we can acquire some of them just to add to our collection, and then some of them that we would be able to use more for professional development. And then with this, all this training, I have scheduled microaggression and bias training with my staff on Friday morning. So we're going to be going through exercises with that.
And Laura, really quickly, since this is something that's kind of rolling across communities now pretty widely, could you please give a little quick just a little explanation about implicit bias and maybe an example of microaggression.
Sure. Microaggression. So the examples I have are ones that are actually real ones that were given by an HR director when we went through the training. Now you put me on the spot, Yvonne. Do you have any that you want
to... So let's pause for a second. Patty, are you here to make a comment for the library board? No. I just wanted... If you wanted to speak, I wanted to give you a chance. Are you for the next meeting? Okay. All right, Laura, did that give you enough time?
No. Oh. I didn't have them with me. I was like, I was all prepared.
I interrupted you, Yvonne. Sorry. Did you...
Yvonne, do you have examples?
So, yeah. Possibly. I'm grabbing notes on some of the trainings that we've been through as well.
I don't have my papers with me.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So, basically, and I can just read this as a definition. This is from some other trainings that are happening in our community. So it's not something where this is a copyright that I am now sharing in public venue for any sort of gain. Microaggressions are subtle, verbal, behavioral, and or environmental insults, assaults, invalidations, and intended compliments that are often done automatically or unconsciously, although I've been informed that the use of unconsciously could potentially be subconsciously, substituting that word. So they occur on the spectrum of intentional or unintentional bias. And so this is where the description of intentional meaning an explicit bias and unintentional would be the implicit bias. And they reflect basically worldviews of inclusion, exclusion, superiority versus inferiority. And they could be cumulative, they could be impacts that multiply over time, but essentially are detrimental to those who experience them. So that's kind of the foundation.
I thought of an example, Yvonne.
What we have seen, ideas that hate speech is not necessarily free speech, just bringing up dominance versus dominant supremacy, and just kind of those differences that actually may sound benign on the surface, but because of histories and because of experiences, personal experiences, they may carry more weight for certain groups than others may not realize. So just that idea of thinking a little bit more broadly and not giving into sort of that subconscious knee-jerk utilization of things that may have been deemed acceptable in the past that are really not acceptable now. And in many cases should never have been acceptable, but with our increasing awareness and education, always moving forward.
So thinking about like Dr. Seuss, the Dr. Seuss book, the one with the zoo, the way that Chinamen were, that's considered a bias.
Right.
See, I just needed a second, Yvonne.
Well, good job.
Okay, Laura, you have 8 minutes.
Okay, so a couple things I want to point out. I included in the packet, there's a little handout. I don't know if you guys saw this, about community, meet your community helpers. These are different individuals that we're trying to connect our community members with. For like the Compass Center for Youth and Families, Youth Tides, the Oregon School-Based Health Centers, as well as Lincoln County Public Health. And so we created this flyer to put up in our restrooms, as well as in the teen room and up on our community bulletin board. And then if it was going outside of the library, we wanted to make sure that people had QR codes and ways to contact us with this. So I wanted to point this out to you guys because we worked really hard on, Vanessa did a really great job to put that together. And then there was also another flyer.
My only question is, do people that are more, I mean, I don't know what any of these groups do. If you scan the QR code, will it go to their website? Yes. Okay, awesome.
So all the QR codes straight to their website. The phone numbers are direct to the individuals who would be able to help them. We, especially at the library, because we're open to everybody in the community and we're a welcoming place, we see a lot of individuals who are struggling. And so one of the things that libraries really try to do is connect people to resources. This is another way that we're going to be able to help some of our community members who may be struggling. We put this together. And then Vanessa put together in our teen room, because we had help from, which organization? From Youth Tide. So we have a little basket in the teen room that has like tissues, it has toothpaste, a toothbrush, deodorant, little bottles of shampoo and conditioner, and hygiene products too. And our hope is to be able to put some of those items in our restrooms too for people, no question asked. especially when you're thinking about menstruation, that is has no barriers as far as socioeconomic status, background, sexual orientation. And a lot of times it's a barrier to access because people can't afford it. So if it's one way that we can able to help members of our community, this is what we're trying to do.
I like that you added the photos. I think that makes it friendlier.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Can I ask, go ahead,
Millie.
I just wanted to add, I'm trying to find it and I don't see it, but can I ask if you have the 211 number on there?
No, it isn't.
So the 211 number helps families locate childcare providers. It also helps them, it's multiple lingual individuals. It's started maybe 6 years now, and it is state run. It's kind of like a 411 where you could get information, but this is all resource for anybody. So that one might be something you might want to just check into.
Yeah.
I will talk to Vanessa. I don't know if she's going to get it to be able to fit on that one, Millie, so we may have to create another one. Mm-hmm. We have 211 resources in the library and the brochure racks right now. They are great. I had a friend that used to work for them. I can see if she can actually get it to fit, but I don't know if she'll be able to on that. So if she can, I'll see if we can create another flyer with 211.
But you're aware of it, and you have resources already. So, I mean, seeing it there, if someone asks about the document, you could always put into your resources.
They are very
some of the 211 info.
They're great as far as all the services, and the services seem to get better with 211 too.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Millie. So the other thing I put in here was the flyer from Thompson Sanitary Service. We thought it was really cool on the second page where it says batteries under other recycling that the Newport Public Library is listed as a location that people can drop off their batteries.
Oh, yay. I have a lot of them. I save them. I do.
We only have a couple minutes. I had attached the 2021 State of America's Library Special Report regarding COVID. I wanted to give this to you guys just so you have some background information. You don't have to ask me questions right now because we only have a couple minutes, but I wanted to make sure you guys saw that. And it went through the censorship by numbers, who initiates challenges, where do challenges take place, and the most challenged books of 2020. Most of all the books that were actually on the list either dealt with sexual orientation or race, which we thought was very telling, especially with the social justice issues that are going on right now. We're not surprised by that. It was very interesting, though. So I want to make sure I pointed that out to you guys. You know about the library hours. Our supervising librarian position, I'm on the director's report right now, you guys. Lily Kranzi, who's been working at the library as our cataloging and outreach librarian, she's been promoted into the supervising librarian position. So we have that filled, and we're very happy about that. And then her old position, the librarian one position, has been posted internally, and it closes on November 19th. So I want to make sure I told you guys that.
Do you believe you'll have an internal applicant? Yes.
Yes. Okay. And then what we would do with that person's position, if it's from our actual department, is hopefully be able to post that position for an adult services and outreach library. But we have to see how things go. And then our windows, they had awarded the contract for replacing the windows on the west-facing side of the library upstairs and downstairs, and it was awarded to Davis Glass. We thought that the windows would actually be in October. They are still not here, and it's because we're having supply chain issues. So I don't know when the project's supposed to start. They're not going to be able to start right now when the weather's like it is. So it's probably going to be in the spring when the windows actually get to go in. So I want to tell you guys about that. I am leaving to go to Guadalajara to select materials from November 27th to December 5th. I will be bringing some goodies back for you guys. And we, Star, who is one of the librarians up in the Driftwood Library in Lincoln City, her and I are traveling down to Guadalajara together to select materials with one of our other travelers who's a student at Emporia State. who's going to library school right now. And we're going to be selecting for 10 libraries that are part of our cohort. 6 of them are public libraries and 4 are school libraries. And I'll take pictures to send you guys. And we have different drives going on too. The Help Community Clothing Drive, the Windermere Donation Drive. And then we're going to have a food drive starting in December against Parks and Rec, playing on the whole Parks and Recreation show competition between the library and Parks and Rec. The library
Which
will win.
Which means we get to be the crazy one.
We get to be the crazy ones, and we're going to win. And then the other one big thing I want to tell you guys about, too, is that the city of Newport signed a memorandum of understanding between the OSU Extension Office and the city of Newport. So the Newport Public Library 60 Plus Center and Parks and Recreation can partner on nutrition classes and displays and exhibits and more possibilities. That's a really exciting thing. So I wanted to make sure I mentioned that to you guys.
And now her time is over. And now we have people waiting. So we're going to adjourn. But excellent speed information, Laura.
I think that's the fastest. If you guys are reading through things and you have questions, I gave you a lot of information because we only get to see each other every other month.
That's right. So we are adjourned until January. So we'll see you in 2022.
Happy holidays.
It's wonderful. It was wonderful. And I did find it, by the way.
The quantum bats.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.